censorship based on the ideas of belief in traditional marriage. That's what we're going to talk about right now in a disturbing event on a college campus recently. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest is Janique Stewart. And Janique Stewart is a pro-life speaker, apologist, and advocate. And she was invited to participate in a debate on the subject of abortion at Cornell University. Then she was disinvited. Why was she disinvited? Well, let's let her explain in her own words. Janique, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jerry.
All right, and first of all, let's just give a quick background about yourself. You're black. You grew up in England, I believe.
Europe.
That's your accent. In Europe, okay. And you have been pro-life for years. I've known you personally. You used to be down here in South Florida working at one of the pro-life centers, and you also spoke at our church and the Salt and Light events on the pro-life perspective, giving a wonderful presentation, and you speak at colleges and high schools all across the country, right?
I sure do, yes. That's very accurate.
And in what ways do you speak? I mean, what do you talk about?
Well, primarily with the Life Training Institute, we are a pro-life apologetic organization. And so I travel all over the United States and even other countries as well, training audiences to how do we conversationally make a defense for the pro-life position that is logical and very reasoned using science and philosophy. So we're able to debunk a lot of the common misconceptions. And it was for that reason that Cornell Political Union, one of their executive board members, contacted our organization, the Life Training Institute, inquiring about my availability to come and speak at one of their meetings. And the topic was going to be pro-life versus abortion. And so, of course, I was the pro-life speaker. I was going to speak for 30 minutes and then the Cornell Political Union was going to debate amongst themselves and then vote upon that.
Okay. And I've heard you give this presentation, and it's absolutely excellent. You know, it's a kind of like, well, does size really matter? In other words, like a tiny little embryo is so small, and yet scientifically it is so human. But let's find out what exactly happened as Cornell was, you know, extending this invitation for you to speak, and then they disinvited you. Why? What happened?
Yes. So they invited me early January, and after the topic and the date were both approved, not only by the president of the Cornell Political Union, but also by the executive board, the students themselves also voted to approve this. And it was when they started doing research into my background and who I am as a person and what it is that I believe is when I got a phone call from one of the executive board members saying that they had a problem with my views. And at first I thought, well, wait, they don't know that I'm pro-life? But that's when they explained to me that they were going to disinvite me because of two views that I hold. One, that sex should be reserved for marriage. And second, that I believe that marriage is defined by God, our creator, as the union of one man and one woman. And for those reasons, simply because of my beliefs, they made a decision then to disinvite me. And that was the first time they disinvited me.
Mm. That's very disturbing. I mean, I'll bet you if you do a lot of research in terms of the views of people who founded this country, maybe even the people who founded Cornell University way back when, that, you know, I mean, most people believed that marriage is between one man and one woman. I mean, Barack Obama claimed to believe that in 2011. Would he be disinvited from speaking at such an entry? I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Well, that's exactly what the issue was. And I remember in that conversation, I said, wait a minute, you have to go back to them and make it very clear. Are they really going to disinvite me simply because of my views? Because that is a form of viewpoint discrimination. And that's wrong of them to do that, especially at a university campus, which is supposed to represent or be a bastion of higher learning, where we're supposed to have the free exchange of ideas and then be able to debate those ideas. And they made it very clear that that's why I was disinvited. So when I asked my contact to go back and make sure that they were not going to disinvite me because of my views, they did go back. And at that point, they said, okay, fine. We will not outright disinvite you, but we would rather someone else from the Life Training Institute that does not hold those views, or if they do hold those views, they've never expressed them publicly, where if we Google their name will be associated with such views. So I said, well, wait a minute. If you're not going to just overtly disinvite me, then I will remain the speaker. So for about 3 weeks then, it was that fine that I would continue to speak on April 23rd, which is now next week. But then after about 3 weeks of this being set now again, I got that dreaded phone call again saying this time it was final. And when I asked again, what is the reason? Again, it was simply because of my views. They felt that the students would not be able to listen to my pro-life speech because they would be so focused on my views. And I thought, well, that really is insulting to their intelligence. Because now what you're saying is this is an Ivy League school that the students can't possibly listen simply because of my views on premarital sex and marriage. And so, of course, though, they held firm to that. They made it clear they were not going to rethink this or have a change in heart, that it was set in stone and that they would prefer another speaker from our organization. So, of course, I brought up Scott Klusendorf, who is the president of the Life Training Institute. And initially, my contact thought, oh, that would be great since he is the president. So when that contact went back to the executive board to present Scott Klusendorf, the president, they said, nope, we don't want him either because he's the wrong gender. Yeah. So it was very shocking to me that this is where we are on college campuses, where free speech is suppressed, or actually it's only certain ideas are suppressed, whereas other ideas are encouraged and applauded. But if you don't believe the way they want you to, then certain ideas are automatically silenced. And that's exactly what they did. They censored my speech simply because of my views. And that is a form, like I said, of viewpoint discrimination.
You think of all the millions, tens of millions of evangelicals and tens of millions of Catholics and then millions of Orthodox Jews who believe that marriage is just between one man and one woman. That's the way the Creator designed it, and that you should not engage in sex outside of marriage. Those two things, and yet it was those two things that caused you to be disinvited from Cornell.
Yes, exactly. And as you just mentioned, there are millions of people that believe this way, and there was a young man who was one of the officers for the executive board. After all of this transpired, he actually resigned. And initially, the president of the executive board said that I was actually disinvited because of security fees. Well, the gentleman that resigned said, you know what? That's a lie. There was no issue with security fees. She was disinvited because of her views. And he went on to say in his letter, although he considers himself to be an ally of the LGBTQ community, and he doesn't really seem to have a problem with it, even though he identifies as Christian, he did point out that very fact that, wait a minute, it's wrong to refer to her beliefs as well as millions of others who believe that marriage is a union of one man and one woman. It's wrong to refer to that belief system as bigoted, because that's essentially what I was told in that very first phone call, was that my ideas, having me on campus with the ideas that I hold, is very similar to having a racist on campus with pro-slavery and pro-Holocaust views. And that's how it was expressed to me, that either it was the board that felt that way or the board felt the students would perceive me in that manner. And that is very offensive, but not only offensive, it's flat out wrong to try and compare the biblical standard and that which is natural marriage as bigoted.
Oh, you have the constitutional right not to be offended. I mean, that's kind of what they're thinking or something like that. But, you know, this does not portend well And in fact, there's a lot of signs that college today is just crazy. You have all these people spending all this money in the college debts. They're not even being trained well for, you know, good jobs in the future in many cases. I mean, many of the programs, you know, what are you going to do with your degree in women's studies or something like that? Seriously. And then all you have all these young people, they come out of college and all they've got really is college debt, huge amounts of debts, and college is just is dysfunctional, it seems. I mean, today, I mean, just it's outrageous what's going on.
It is dysfunctional, and I think it stems from several different things, one of which we have this idea of safe spaces that are being promoted on college campuses.
Snowflakes.
And part of this confusion is literally, it's confusion over the First Amendment, where we see freedom of religion, but of course, freedom of speech. So now what's happened is there's this notion or this distortion of freedom of speech, and they've taken that and replaced it with freedom from speech, specifically any type of speech that might hurt my feelings. Let's keep people free of any speech or any idea that I don't agree with. And that's ultimately what's happening. And so what we see oftentimes are conservative voices and ideals being automatically censored and suppressed because some people might feel threatened by those ideas. So I think that's very dangerous in and of itself. And I think we have to be honest and admit that censorship actually hurts the students. Number one, Jerry, we have to remember, if the universities are supposed to be a bastion of higher learning, well, how are you helping the students when you're automatically silencing any type of dissent and you're not even allowing certain ideas to even come into fruition or even be discussed? That means it actually cripples them because, number one, it teaches them to think that everyone's going to agree with them when the reality is not everyone is going to agree with you or see things the way you do. But secondly, it also, in my opinion, it discourages the pursuit of truth. Rather than allowing the free exchange of ideas and then saying, okay, now let's evaluate these. Let's pursue what is true. It actually silences that because it's not allowing them to actually even ask questions to be able to discern right from wrong. So even when we're talking about morality even, it's suppressing all of that. And in some ways, there's also a level of indoctrination. But I also think that the downside of this is not only are the universities censoring certain ideas, I think we're also finding conservatives and Christians self-censoring, where they're apologizing if they do hold to a biblical worldview. So now they're apologizing rather than using apologetics to defend what we believe.
Wow. Okay, we have about 1 minute left. One of the major problems in our society is the breakdown of the family and traditional marriage as God designed it, one man, one woman, children born in that context, sex exclusively in that context, is so much better for everybody, including society. As the family goes, so goes society. And yet you're saying that just holding that view and even having expressed it in other venues, and you weren't even planning to talk about that in your talk because it was specifically focusing on abortion.
I was here only to talk about pro-life.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, we have 40 seconds. What do you want to say in conclusion?
Well, I just want to remind all conservatives and Christians that we have a moral responsibility not to give up. I'm not giving up. And I think it's so important that we take our stand and that we use apologetics to defend what it is that we believe rather than apologizing for why we believe the way we do.
Okay. And your website, I believe, is loveprotects.org. Could people
and
get
pro-life? Yes. And prolifetraining.com. Prolifetraining.com.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much, Janique. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Jerry.